This Civic Media podcast is sponsored by UW Organ and Tissue Donation. Organ donations are desperately needed, and now is the right time to become an organ donor. Talk to your family. Get the dot. Save lives. Go to heroicdeed.com.
It's time to get organized with Dr. Craig and Citizen Action. Working for democracy and taking on economic, racial, and environmental issues across Wisconsin and around the United States, here's Earl Ingram with Dr. Robert Craig.
Good morning and welcome back to the Earl Ingram Show. As always, you can join us at 855-752-4842. That's 855-752-4842. Good morning to you, Dr. Craig. How you doing? How was the holiday?
It was good, though. I had to hit the road right away. I'm talking to you from Atlanta.
All right. Well, a little warmer there?
A little bit, but it's still 40s. It's not exactly like tropical, but it's nice compared to, I understand, it's getting really cold in Wisconsin today.
I got a lot to talk about with you today. Let's have at it. So let's begin here, Dr. Craig. Monday I had Ben Wickler on, and he's running for the DNC chair. And listening to him, he said what I wanted to hear. Hey, let's not throw the baby out with the bathwater. This was a close election, and so Democrats shouldn't totally change everything that they've been doing and talking about and be more like Republicans, because that's what's required today, because so many Democrats went to the right because of policies of Democrats who somehow have forgotten about the average American. And I don't know, Dr. Craig, what are your thoughts? Should the Democrats totally revamp everything that they stand for because of this election?
Well, no, of course not. Ben is right that it was a relatively close election. It was not a blowout by any modern standard or standard of actually the history of American presidential elections. There was a few point shift towards Republicans, only 1.5% in Wisconsin, the narrowest margin. And given the economy, in particular, the financial squeeze families are feeling, this actually is probably, let me put it this way, probably Democrats did very well given the public perception of their economic situations and the reality of the squeeze of the price, not just of groceries or gas. Gas actually is moderate a lot, but healthcare, childcare, all the other necessities of life, right? Housing, right? Because there's a real housing bubble going on and unaffordability of housing. So given that, it probably had probably the Republicans could have expected to perform even better than they did. It's a little bit of a shock. They won the popular vote nationally. We'd kind of gotten used to the idea that Republicans could only steal it. But the fact that Republicans can win it fair and square calls into even further question 2020 and their various voter suppression efforts everywhere, which assume they can't win a popular vote. But what you have going on here, I'm glad to hear Ben said that, Earl. He wasn't asked that question on Morning Joe, not surprisingly. Don't be too sarcastic, not surprisingly. And there are a lot of, since the Democratic Party is a less unified party, it's a big pro-democracy tent, right? I would say the more corporatist conservative elements of the party are trying to take advantage of the situation and say, oh, that means we can't be too liberal. But that falls in the face of the fact that the only side of the party that has answers for the struggles of working people and middle class people, the great decline in economic equality that's occurred in the last 40 years, and the continuing horrendous levels of race-based economic inequality, is the progressive wing of the party. I mean, if you're going to make healthcare affordable, you need to intervene in the healthcare marketplace and take decision-making away from big insurance companies, big pharmaceutical companies, and big hospital monopolies. If you want to make childcare affordable and have universal pre-K, which would do a ton for working families, you need progressive solutions. If you want paid family medical leave, if you want the child tax credit and enhanced earned income tax credit, which will dramatically increase wages for working families and for working single people, then you need progressive solutions. So you hear them saying it both ways, Earl, on the same like Morning Joe and other kind of places, claiming that we need to listen to the pain of working class people, but then saying the solution, therefore, is more of what got us in trouble, like free trade deals that are dominated by big corporations and gut our good family-supporting union jobs.
Dr. Craig, Chuck Schumer just got reelected as the Senate Democratic leader. Is it time that the Democrats move on from the Nancy Pelosi, Chuck Schumer, you know, dare I say it, Bernie Sanders, Elizabeth Warren? Is it time that the younger generation of Democrats come to the surface and begin to lead?
You see, there's a lot of ageism baked into all of this. Right. We should not have a leadership overall that's mostly octogenarians, right? Because that's unrepresentative. You need a mix, right? Obviously, the Democrat minority leader in the House is a much younger man, right? Hakeem Jeffries. Yeah, someone like a Nancy Pelosi, who I got to talk with at length one day, thanks to Gwen Moore, bringing her to Milwaukee, and we're doing health events with her. You know, she was a brilliant leader. You don't necessarily want to, I mean, she's not the leader anymore, but you don't necessarily not want her wisdom and expertise, but you also need to have pathways for talented young people. But you know what? J.D. Vance is younger, but he's no breath of fresh air. So shall we put it this way? Having more diversity of age is something we should have, and it's a qualification when we have an overpredominance of older leaders, but it can't be the only qualification, any more than we'd ever say that someone should get a job only because they're Black or only because they're Latino, though we know darn well over most of American history, people got jobs just because they were white or Irish or Italian or WASP, or you name it, right? That happened, and we haven't rebalanced things, not even close. You know, with Schumer, the question is who would be the alternative? You know, quite frankly, the most qualified alternative might be someone older than Schumer. That would be Bernie Sanders. I don't necessarily need a younger, less competent version of Chuck Schumer, because we're going to need to use all of the Senate rules to try to limit the damage of the Trump era. So I don't know, maybe there is a more effective senator who'd be a more effective leader of the Democratic senators, but I don't know that. And this needs to be, in this case, the most capable person, because there's high stakes here. They can undermine Medicare, gut Medicaid, which is Badger-cured in Wisconsin, make the Affordable Care Act entirely unaffordable. I'm just starting there with what they can do with our environmental regulations, with our education system, et cetera. It's very important that the one leverage point that Democrats have, other than the close margin in the House, is Senate rules. Senate rules make it hard to take drastic action quickly.
You know, Dr. Craig, you really thought this one through, because I'm not saying you don't always, but because after the Joe Biden situation, with people looking at him and saying, hey, Democrats, what are you doing? It's time to move on from these octogenarians and people. But people aren't all the same, and the ravages of aging is different for different people. You don't see those signs with Chuck Schumer or Bernie Sanders or Elizabeth Warren that you saw with Joe Biden. And this is why I brought it up, because
I mean, right. Go ahead. Tom Brady was a better quarterback at 45 than most 25-year-olds, right. But that's unusual. So you want to have Tom Brady as your quarterback at 45, but probably not most other 45-year-olds.
Yeah, and so here's we're there. And what you are saying is experience does have its place. And we're in a critical juncture of this nation where there's an inherent danger with the man that's in place and his policies and what he wants to do to this government and stability. I guess I'm not putting words in your mouth. It needs to be taken into account.
At this point, we want a little gridlock and inertia, not because we're trying to make democracy not work, but because we're trying to prevent it from being damaged permanently. You've seen the cabinet appointments. I look forward to CJ's talking points about why this is the most qualified crew that anyone's ever conceived, but it's absurd for any fair-minded person. And so I do like what the House Democrats have done. Nancy Pelosi is not the leader, but she's still there. Hakeem Jeffries can consult her wisdom as he wants, or he can.
And he's not threatened, and he doesn't feel threatened.
Right. And so that is, I mean, ideally, like when I get old enough to retire, it would be good if the new director of our organization had access to me in some form, right? Just for what I can, but without me controlling it, right? There's some things that probably should be changed. I think we were burned because I think we gave Joe Biden the benefit of the doubt that he wouldn't run if he wasn't up to it. And clearly people were misled, and I don't know what made them think, the Biden family, his aides, Biden himself, that he could hide this
right.
And get through a whole election. And as I said in this show repeatedly, we actually do not know that Biden was cognitively impaired. What we do know is he was impaired from a communication standpoint. And that is a vital qualification for the office of President of the United States. It's a rhetorical office. That what the president says and the ability to be persuasive saying it is one of the major things that makes a president powerful and influential in our system and in quite the international politics as well. And he had lost that capacity. He might still have all his marbles. That's not the point. We don't need to jump to that conclusion or to say that he was no longer qualified to be president.
You know, Dr. Craig, all of that was very well said, and, you know, as a guy who's sitting here at 70 years old doing radio, I'm sure there are people who are saying, hey, that guy's too old. It's time to bring somebody else younger to the plate, you know. And I don't quite feel like it's my time yet. I think I still got something left in the tank. But anyway, we're going to talk about Dr. Craig. You know, I've got a segment called the Politrickster of the Day. So we're going to talk about that and more. Dr. Robert Craig, Executive Director of Citizen Action, is on the docket on the Earl Ingram Show.
You're listening to Civic Media. Stay up to date on the latest news and information for your local community and Wisconsin by signing up for our free email newsletter. Visit civicmedia.us/email to get started.
Chestnuts roasting on an open fire, Jack Frost nipping at your nose, Yuletide carols being sung by a choir, and folks dressed up like Eskimos. Everybody knows.
All right, welcome back to the Earl Ingram Show. As always, you can join us at 855-752-4842. That's 855-752-4842. It's Wednesday at 9 o'clock. That means the one and only Dr. Robert Craig, Executive Director of Citizen Action. I'll come to the phone lines in a second. Dr. Craig, so many different things that we've got to be cognizant of in this second Donald Trump term, but one of them we know is public education. And so as they talk about doing away with the Department of Education, I was going through this, Dr. Craig, the 20 top private schools with the wealthiest parents in this nation received $130 million in government funding last year. Let me repeat that. The 20 wealthiest private schools with the wealthiest parents received $130 million in government funding last year. Now, Dr. Craig, and I will ask you, who's to blame? Do you think the average person who voted for Donald Trump and who supports, you know, voucher schools have any idea that the wealthiest amongst us are getting taxpayer dollars to pay for tuition for their children, Dr. Craig, at the expense of the public school system, which has been the bedrock of our nation?
But you'll also notice that no one ran on that. So what does it say about how conflicted Democrats can be? They don't want to fund the rich parents getting those benefits either, right? And you can really question, if you want to go beyond primary and secondary school to universities, the number of elite colleges and universities, how much of their money is federal financial aid money? And you've got to wonder a little about that too. And then they claim no federal oversight, right?
Right.
And let alone, let's take a Harvard, all the research money they get for all of the research that goes on there, this various scientific and frankly technological development research, happens not only at public schools like UW-Madison, but happens at big private schools. It's a problem when, if no one runs on something, no one's going to hear about it, right? And so a lot of issues that would be big for voters aren't, because they're not mentioned. There's kind of a silent conspiracy. But the second thing is, when government is too complex where people understand what it does, how can they be good voters and hold it accountable, even if they were going to take the time? And that's the problem with things like the implementation of the Inflation Reduction Act, which has required tremendous work for groups to even figure out how it works. I have to tell you, and the level of technical expertise we've needed within CIS and ACTION to understand it is such that I'm telling you, there's no hope for a voter to understand.
Right.
Even a very well-intended voter. That is a threat to democracy as much as the attack on voting. But look at it this way, as far as the federal funding that's at risk, do you know, Earl, what percentage of MPSs is Milwaukee Public Schools, the biggest school district in the state and the one that's by far the most diverse in the state? What percentage of the money is federal money?
No, I don't.
19%.
Only 19%?
Well, actually, the federal government does not pay for most of education, primary and secondary education, but they do pay more to impoverished school districts.
Okay.
And so Milwaukee gets more. Yeah, it's even less for wealthier districts. That's why you don't want to overstate the impact. And by the way, getting rid of the Department of Education doesn't mean getting rid of all the programs before the Department of Education. It was all part of the Department of Health and Human Services. So in other words, they wouldn't necessarily get rid of all the funding. But, you know, with the new World Wrestling Federation lady in charge of the Department of Education,
Linda McMahon,
and the state already shortchanging MPS and other urban and rural districts are the ones most shortchanged by the state of Wisconsin, withholding the money. They want to just give it away to wealthy people and more tax cuts. That's Robin Voss's agenda. He's announced that for the next session is more regressive tax cuts. He doesn't say regressive. He lies and says they're for the middle class. So it's good. It could do much further damage to MPS because MPS is already. Do you know that MPS has, from what they can count, $500 million in deferred maintenance on its buildings?
Absolutely.
That they can't afford to maintain their own buildings. And it's deferred maintenance. And by the way, their capacity is so limited, they're probably not counting all the deferred maintenance. If you get deeper, you'd probably find a whole lot of other things that these are things they've documented are wrong and need to get fixed in schools. They don't have the money to fix.
Well, you know, it's not like they've built any new buildings that I can recall, Dr. Craig, in the last 20 years.
Which most
of them are 100 years old. Buildings.
Like Dayview High School in my neighborhood.
Washington High School, where I went. And many of these schools clearly have outlived their usefulness. And so,
nephew went to Rufus King.
It hasn't been upgraded in probably 120 years.
Which is an outrage, because do you know that we have we have more segregation now of education as far as black and white kids going to school together than we had in the late 1960s? That Brown versus Board has been reversed. And furthermore, the idea of equality, when you have brand new gleaming schools for middle class, predominantly white kids to go to in suburbs, and you have poor, more predominantly black and brown kids going to ancient buildings that they don't have the money to even maintain, that's not equal education or opportunity. Then we say it's a fair playing field.
Dr. Craig, you pointed out something that I hadn't even thought about. I'm a product of that time in the 1960s, and you are right. It is even more segregated now, almost, than it was then. I'm joined by Dr. Robert Craig, Executive Director of Citizen Action. And Dr. Craig, we're going to go to the phone lines. And I've got one other subject that we want to talk about on the other side. You're tuned into the Earl Ingram Show.
You're an organ donor, right? Well, here's a tragic fact. Approximately 20 people die each day waiting for precious donated organs. You could make a life-saving decision simply by getting that important dot on your driver's license. That little dot shows those who need to know that you've made a decision to donate organs at a critical time. Go to heroicdeed.com to learn more about the importance of organ donation and how you can make your wishes known. Talk to your family. Get the dot. Save lives. HeroicDeed.com.
All right, welcome back to the Earl Ingram Show. As always, you can join us at 855-752-4842. 855-752-4842 is Wednesday. That means Dr. Robert Craig, Executive Director of Citizen Action. Let's go to the phone lines. Let's go to Jim from Eden. Good morning to you, Jim. You say what?
Yes, good morning, Earl. Yeah, thank you for the discussion this morning. Just want to share a reason for distrust of government agencies, three-letter agencies like the CDC. Did you know on November or December 2nd, just a couple of days ago, 4 years after the COVID pandemic was going on in America, the U.S. House now just released a damning detailed investigative report that reveals the independent media was right all along. And they list this. Is, you can find a PDF.
Right about what?
Oversight.
Right about what?
They were right about that the COVID was engineered in the lab. That's the first one. The second one is the government covered up the truth and pushed disinformation propaganda on purpose. Those are a few of the couple points, but that makes us skeptical of three-letter agencies, government agencies. And so that just recently, you can find that there. The chairman of it was Congressman Brad Wenstrup of Ohio.
You know, one thing I'll say about you, Jim, is you are a nice guy, man. You really are not a person who has an axe to grind. You really are an honest guy, and you call with good intentions, but man, Dr. Craig, you want to respond to what he just said?
Well, I want to be fair in that I've not yet read the report. I've seen some of the press releases. It certainly looks like it's a Republican report, and there are various headlines about the Democrats blasting it as fueling a political agenda. I had not heard any convincing scientific evidence that we had shown that it was produced in a lab. Now, by the way, if it was produced in a lab, it doesn't necessarily mean that therefore all the crazy things said during the COVID pandemic were in any way true, or that the things that came out of then President Trump's mouth and future President Trump's mouth were true. Or that it was deliberate, right? Okay, let's say it really is true. We can establish it came out of a lab. The evidence is mixed on that. We actually don't know. There's evidence the other way. It doesn't mean that was deliberately done by China. If you could then show was deliberately released and done by China, then okay, then we have a major foreign policy situation. It doesn't mean people shouldn't protect themselves and take public health measures to protect themselves from COVID. So there was one tell here, and the way the caller started, he said, another reason to have distrust in government. First of all, the government is not some separate alien body. Okay, the government is our representative democracy. It is neither naturally good or bad. It is what we make it. Whether we have a healthy democratic culture that produces an effective, responsive government, or we don't, and we create something else. Okay, so we got to get around this right-wing, conservative, and a lot of moderate language that makes the government anything other than the instrument of the people and what we make it. And when we aren't good citizens as a group, right, when we aren't engaged, when we don't take control of our own political system, then government can be bad, but is not naturally bad any more than the Milwaukee City Council is naturally good or bad. It can be a bad city council or a good city council based on who's on it and what kind of work they do and how active their constituents are, hold them accountable. So it's a weird kind of political debate, right, to say that now the government is to be discredited. So what? We should ignore public health warnings and that will lead to better outcomes? Do you believe in science? Do you believe that there is a way that we have learned something over the millennium and how to handle communicable diseases and make people safer? The other thing is, yes, there were undoubtedly things done during COVID-19 that were not the right things because we didn't know yet. It was a new thing. It's the novel coronavirus, okay? What their obligation was is not to look 20 years in advance and know what you would have done with the hindsight of 20 years. You have to act on the best evidence we have now. And that's what Dr. Fauci was saying. And it looks like from the headlines, this is yet another attempt to discredit one of the great public servants of our generation. Anthony Fauci gave his life to making us safer, did a great deal to make the AIDS epidemic stop taking the toll it had been taken under Reagan. And for a long time, killing far too many people that needed to kill, and did his level best to help us weather this pandemic. And I'm sure learned new things, but acted based on the evidence he had in front of him and made advice. He had no power to do anything. He had the power to give his advice.
You know, Dr. Craig, he also simplified things. He talked about, I'm talking about Jim, who just said these alphabet entities, as if the EPA and the Food and Drug Administration and all of these things should be thrown out, not having any concept at all about the impact that they have on our lives on a daily basis, Dr. Craig. He's bought into that and totally dismissed the impact that these entities have on on the regulations that are on them that Democrats attempt to make sure that they follow what's in the best interest of the American people. It is Republicans, some of them, who want to do away with the regulations of those entities. So
at the behest of the wealthiest, most powerful people in our country who want to profit by poisoning us. So here's the thing. Environmental Protection Agency, nice name, right? Food and Drug Administration, nice name. I'm the last one to tell you they're necessarily always doing the right thing. In fact, I think they're often co-opted by industry and do their bidding too much. Do we need an Environmental Protection Agency, given all the environmental threats and the continuing death? Yes. If there's a problem with this EPA, we need to fix it. What is its goal? To protect public health and to make us safe, not to allow someone to make profits. And so if we have a problem with the EPA, we shouldn't dismiss it as an alphabet agency. We need to fix it, and we need to be clear on how it needs to be fixed, and we need to vote for people who will do so, will run on doing so, and we can hold accountable as to whether they actually achieve it or not.
There's a reason why those entities came into effect, because of the damage that was being done before they even got there. Let's go to CJ. Good morning to you, CJ. You say what?
Good morning, Dr. Craig and Earl. Thanks for taking my call. These entities that you speak so highly of have failed us, and they've been politicized. And we walked Dr. Fauci, our most expensive entity or leader of one of these institutions, lie to us right to our face. We now know that his...
Where did he lie? What did he lie about? What did he lie about?
Was not funding from our health institution going to Wuhan lab? Yes. We now know that. We now know that. And Fauci lied to us, and the FBI lied to us, spied on our president. If you read the John Durham report, we now know who our most trusted institutions have been politicized and attacked.
So Donald Trump is not politicizing any of those entities?
More have died under Biden than Trump.
More what? You mean because of COVID? All right. Thank you very much. Dr. Craig, you want to respond to any of that? That nonsense?
Okay, TJ's lost confidence in these agencies. I didn't hear an answer to, do we need an environmental protection agency? And don't we need qualified people to run it? Do we need a set of facts we can agree on that are actual facts, right? Does it help us to have RFK Jr.'s vaccine denial stuff as part of our evaluation of whether the FDA or the other health agencies, the NIH, are doing a good job or not? No, it makes it impossible to hold them accountable. And this is the problem with conservatism and corporate propaganda. There's no basis of facts anymore. There is a basis of facts, but it's been lost from our political dialogue, because half of our electorate believes in the facts they want to believe in, that they're lied about to, mostly on digital and social media, and on cable like Fox News.
Tom from LA, good morning to you, Tom. You say what?
Good morning. First, we, the people, are the government. Second, I am a proud FDR, Franklin Delano Roosevelt Democrat. Part of the problem is, and this is on the Democratic side, is when they bring out policy, they nibble around the edges. They don't say a simple message like, we're going to have Medicare for all for children under 12 years old. That's a very simple message. Even when Kamala came out with her $500 and $25,000 and $50,000, nobody can understand the simple message. And the truth is, the regressive people like CJ and like these people are lazy. They don't understand the intricacies of government. They just want it to be a one-answer bumper sticker on there. And Democrats have got to get into the game and start doing a one answer bumper sticker type of answer in terms of saying Medicare for all or Medicare for kids under 12 years old or whatever. Not this, you do this and then you do this and then you put a tax credit there and you do that there. Democrats compromise before they even get to the table.
All right, Tom, thank you very much. Thank you very much for the call. Dr. Craig, you want to respond?
Tom's right. And I would just say, as someone who has a PhD in communications, I don't think it's all messaging incompetence. I'm not saying Tom said that. I'm just, you know, a lot of the debate right now is about messaging. I think it's refusal to take the strong stand, to try to, like, take the more careful stand that's deniable because you're conflicted, because you, look, the Democrats spent massive amounts of money this cycle. This is the elephant in the room that you will not hear on Morning Joe, right? They outspent the Republicans. Well, some of that money came grassroots, but a lot more of it came from big interests that they don't want to offend. And, you know, Bernie Sanders has said for years, you can't take all of Wall Street's money and represent average working people. It won't happen. It won't work. And that's what we're seeing over and over again. So I think if there's an existential choice the Democrats have, it is, if you want working folks to vote for you, you actually have to represent them, which means you have to offend some of those moneyed interests, and you need to run campaigns like Bernie Sanders did in 16 and 20 that can raise so much small donor money that you don't need to take that other money.
You know, Dr. Craig, it's still pretty amazing to me, after this election, the election is over, there are people who are still parroting the same thing that the commercials were being run by Republicans.
Yep.
It's still with them.
Good messaging are all from the standpoint of effectiveness.
That has to be it, Dr. Craig, because those things that were questionable even during the time that they were running them, here we've got people who are still parroting those things when they don't matter anymore. They don't have to say those things anymore. They're in. 855-752-4842. Again, the politrickster of the day on the Earl Ingram Show.
You're listening to Civic Media. Find the latest news, information, and archives of all your favorite shows on the Civic Media website, civicmedia.us.
All right, welcome back to what I can't believe is the last few minutes of the Earl Ingram Show. As always, you can join us at 855-752-4842. The one and only Dr. Robert Craig is holding fort. So, Dr. Craig, before we go back to the phone lines, I do a politrickster of the day each day now. And so today's politrickster of the day is Congressman Rich McCormick. And he represents the wealthiest congressional district in the state of Georgia. And what he is calling for is cuts to Social Security, Dr. Craig. And he's calling for cuts to other social programs because we can't afford it. Now, Dr. Craig, I don't pretend to have the knowledge that you have on our government and how things work. But you can't call for cuts to those programs at the same time you keep asking for cuts for the taxes on the wealthiest people amongst us. How do you reconcile that, Dr. Craig, where it makes sense?
Oh, well, it's irreconcilable. They've been cutting the tax burden of the wealthiest people, and large corporations in this country has declined precipitously over time since the 1970s, as they've become gotten a much bigger share of all of our economic gains. That's what's put the big squeeze on the working class and the middle class and low-income folks. And there's plenty of money there. There's plenty of money. You do not need to renew or make worse the Trump tax cuts. So I love the way they say there isn't the money. You know, they find the money for what they want to do. They found the money for the Iraq war when we decided that was politically convenient to blame Saddam Hussein for a vicious attack, 9/11, that he had nothing to do with.
Right.
We know he had nothing to do with, and it was clear then. So this is a matter of what you believe. By the way, the United States is a currency issuer. What that means is that we actually don't have a limit on how much we can spend. There are natural limits and come. Remember when we did bread and butter in the 60s,
right.
it can be inflationary if you do too much, but we have much more control than other countries. Argentina, Brazil, Mexico, they do not have the power we do because dollar is the default currency of the global economy. We have been borrowing from Social Security since the 60s on paper. We simply need to meet this commitment. Now, this is the kind of thing that if you do it, you're actually investing in economic activity that grows the economy, et cetera. Social Security, Medicare, these are examples of good investments. Bad investments is giveaways to give Elon Musk another couple $1 billion in tax breaks he doesn't need so he can do God knows what with it. I think we learned more about him in this election cycle, more than we wanted to know. And so, yeah, I'm sitting here in Georgia. The wealthy parts of Georgia are quite wealthy. I don't know what looking around his district, what Representative McCormick thinks, why he thinks that we can't afford, we're the only advanced industrial economy in the world that can't afford a decent retirement system. Ours is the worst of the group as far as how we treat our seniors, and we apparently can't have that either. Will Representative McCormick, what will he want to do with starving seniors on the streets? Because, you know, there's a high percentage of seniors, upwards, I don't want to reinstate the number, but it's a third or more, that their only source of income is their Social Security check. What are you going to do with those folks?
Well, that's why he's the politrickster of the day. Let's go to Cassandra from Middleton. Good morning to you, Cassandra. You say what?
Hi, Earl and Robert. Thanks for taking my call. I know there's just some short time left. Robert, I just want to ask you to think about something, especially your views on the leadership. Nancy Pelosi needs not only to retire, but she needs to leave the seat in Congress. And because what company can effectively lead, what new leader can effectively lead when the old leadership is still actively involved and can possibly override the new leader's decision? During the whole Biden debacle of whether he should remain the candidate or drop out of the presidential race, members of Congress, they were contacting Pelosi. She wasn't the leader. They should have been contacting Hakeem Jeffries. And so Pelosi, she had her chance. I think she needs to drop out. Pelosi, Hoyer, Clyburn, all of those guys.
Cassandra, I wish we had more time. We have it. Thank you very much for the call. Dr. Craig.
I don't want to die on the sword. I'm not saying that the be-all and end-all is keeping Nancy Pelosi around. By the way, she could be, you ever in a kitchen cabinet, she could be the most influential advisor and not be in Congress. So you're not really going to tell Hakeem Jeffries or anyone else who they can rely on for advice, I don't think. I can tell you that for our, because we have two different boards of directors within Citizen Action for two different related organizations. And we have younger people are on, but I keep.
Well, we lost Dr. Craig. Anyway, I want to thank everybody as always who joined in. Really appreciate it. Sorry we ran out of time. I'll be back on tomorrow. We'll continue the conversation with Dr. Omar, the pharmacist. You'll be in the pharmacy with Dr. Omar. Dr. Craig, we'll see you soon. Always great to have you on. Up next, Jane Matinere and Greg Bach, Matinere on Air. Hey, enjoy the day. I'll see you guys on tomorrow. Yeah.
The national news cycle never stops, but it can be hard to find news about your local community. Civic Media is dedicated to providing quality local and state news coverage across Wisconsin. With the Civic Media app, you can get notifications about local stories that matter to you and your community. Find the free Civic Media app in your phone's app store and choose notifications from the menu to tell us what kind of news you want to hear about.